We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Cavs head coach J.B. Bickerstaff talking about the Cavs' physicality in Game 1 against the Magic. Now, we did have somebody on social media, I believe it was Radu, saying Wagner could also be Austrian because I had said, you know, he was German. I have confirmed that both Wagners are, in fact, from Berlin in Germany. They're not Austrian. So I'm just do with that what that will. I don't really know. I just want to make sure to clear that up. When I called them German, there was no aspersions cast. I actually got something right on this show. Of course, social media reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. And here's a funny thing. Like, I don't even want to say, like, I thought the Cavs played their game. And so, like, I don't really think they were all that physical. Meaning, I think they played really hard. But I don't think they took cheap shots. I think the Magic did that. I think they responded. But, like, you know, in terms of you saw the Magic grabbing their player, the Cavs players' hips when they were going up, or grabbing their butts, trying to weigh them down when they were going up for layups. The Cavs really didn't do that. The Cavs were snug when they did play out on the perimeter. But mostly what the Cavs did defensively that I thought was so impressive is they basically laughed in the Magic's face saying, okay, we're going to give you that corner three, Jonathan Isaac. We're going to give you these free shots, and we're just going to go ahead and put three, four, five guys in the paint so that you have to make those threes. And it completely destroyed and stagnated the Magic offense, which in and of itself wasn't good in the first place.
I agree with you 1,000% what you said about three-pointers, because they're not particularly a great three-point shooting team, and they just forced them to chuck it.
Yeah.
And when the Cavs were hitting their threes, what it does is it puts pressure on them to try and counter.
Yeah.
Okay. And when they're not hitting their threes, in fact, they shot as a team 32% from the field and then 21% from three. And on top of that, they were 19 of 30 from free throws.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just, I'll be honest with you, I knew the Magic were bad offensively, right? And I don't want to correlate it to where the Cavs are when the Cavs are at their worst, because the difference is even when the Cavs are at their worst, they still have multiple playmakers both in their lineup and off their bench that at any point can get it going. With the Magic, there's no hope. Like, do you know who the Magic really need? Honest to God, do you know who the Magic need to add to bring the most out of Banchero so he's not the only guy that can make plays? It's Darius Garland. Because they're missing a point guard that can set up for all their guys. And that point guard would need to be able to shoot. Because, like, the guys they have, Suggs isn't a great shooter. Cole Anthony isn't a great shooter. Like, they're okay, but they're also, like, limited in multiple ways. Like, that – I was blown away at how bad the Magic offense was, especially in the half court. Where, again, like, there were possessions where the Cavs were just like, no, we've got five guys in the paint, or we got five guys within 10 feet, 15 feet of the basket. You do you.
Yeah.
And that to me, like, I'll be honest with you, I think they should just repeat. They should start this game trying to do exactly what they did in the first series, because if the Magic could have countered at any point, offensively or defensively, they would have. They couldn't. Like, no, like, the Cavs were able to play both their bigs without any problem. Like, I think that, listen, here's the point. I still have questions about the Cavs because I thought they played at a B-minus, C-plus rate offensively. Actually, no. Offensively, it was a C game. Their defense puts the whole thing up to, like, a B, maybe a B-minus. I don't think the Cavs played their best game in game two.
Far from it. I mean, when you put together stretches – it was bad basketball at times by both teams,
yes.
To be fair. But
to be fair,
overall, the Cavaliers were more consistent. They played better defense. They were more physically dominant than the Magic. And I'm starting to think now, Nick, as we watch this series play out, and obviously tonight will tell us a hell of a lot more, but I thought it was going to go seven. I have a feeling now it could go five.
Yeah, I don't know what the Magic are going to do to score. I think if you're the Magic, you're home.
I mean, there's only so much that Paolo can do.
Yeah, and honestly, you still see a guy that is very early on in his career as a scorer and as a guy that you can run your offense through.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I will say, like, I thought he did some power stuff against your bigs that I thought was really impressive. But beyond that, like, I saw him force a lot of crap up, which, again, I think is because of the situation he's in. But, like, getting back to the Cavs, like, I look at that and I go, well, if you can beat them with a average offensive game, and again, average might actually be kind, because how many straight three-pointers did you miss after starting hot? I mean, if the Cavs make even 25% of those threes that they missed in the middle of the game, you win by 20, 24, maybe 27. Mm. And still you would not have played a good game.
Yeah.
You know, that the beginning of the second half was really rough. The Cavs were not playing their game the first 5, 6, 7 minutes of the third quarter. You look to Darius's performance, which we can get into at some point. Evan kind of disappeared more in the second half, where he was great in the first half, especially in that first quarter, hitting those two big threes. And that was a huge part of their fast start.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to give Orlando credit. They are a really good defensive team. And they make you earn every single thing.
Nick, they are a very good basketball team. Let's not take anything away from them right now. Where they're at is, to me, they're kind of where the Cavs were 2 years ago. I think they're a young team that has a lot of talent, but also trying to feel their way. And this is really their first taste of real playoff basketball. And the Cavs have been there, and they're just kind of taking it to them because they've got the experience, and I think they're confident that they can beat this club.
So I love that you said 2 years ago, right? Because this, they look, I'm trying to be respectful here. Orlando's defense puts them in the top six. Offensively, they might not even be a playoff team. And you add that to the fact that the Cavs are a good offense, are a great defensive team when they, or at least were up until like March 1st. Like, this is a team that really is, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't know anyone would be a good matchup for Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just don't have the kind of talent you need here. And so this is the other way of looking at it. I'll also say, if this thing goes more than six for the Cavs, it'll be because the Cavs inexplicably dropped a game. It'll be because, like, it's going to be on the Cavs if this thing isn't short work, because I can't see the pivot that Jamal Mosley has. Like, the coach, I think, got them where they are. The coach helped them to devise the defense-first mentality. But I can't see that team scoring. I mean, they scored 83 last night. I can't see them scoring more than 92 in a playoff game.
They have to be scrambling, trying to figure out a way to hang with the Cavaliers offensively. And unless they start hitting some threes and just have, like, a monster night. Like, I think tonight will be a closer game. I do. Just because it's the NBA playoffs. Like, mm-hmm. That's what happens. I mean, every game, we say this every year, is like a new series. And just because you beat a team one night on Saturday, it doesn't mean tonight's going to go the same way. You know, I think the Cavs should win this game. I think the Magic will play better, but I don't think overall they're consistent enough to keep up with the Cavs to push them to six or seven games. I just don't see it.
That word right there is that. So I think the best way, because we're asking 216-474-0092, at Nick Wilson says, at Dustin Fox 37, we're live from Harry Buffalo here on East 4th, courtesy of our friends at Mick Ultra, and we've got a lot to get into on today's show. But I want to start with not just how they won, but how much weight you're putting into the Cavs game one. Because I'm not so sure that you can't win it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Same way. Like, I think if Orlando wins, it's going to be because inexplicably they got hot from the three-point mark. Because I'll be honest with you, I think you should give them every three that they want until they prove they can hit more than 25% of them. Mm-hmm. But to get back to it, what was most impressive to me is, yes, the Cavs had that dip in the third quarter, but they didn't let that take them out of their game. The Magic got within four, but they found the way to get back to it. Donovan was great late, and like, you can play better than what you played like in game one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the Magic can. I think that's what we're – and so I don't know how much I can take – how much I can wait from game one and say, well, now in a series against Boston, .. But I can be confident about this series.
Yeah.
And I think I still don't know what beyond this looks like. I still don't know if you have the landing strip here to do what you need to do to become a serious Eastern Conference contender this year. Just a little landing strip. I mean, you got just a couple games here, that's all. But I do think, at the very least, it made me more confident that the Cavs can handle these guys in short work. Because they just the Cavs, I thought, and we got a few people on this on social media, I just felt like the Cavs answered the call in game one. And now it's on them to just keep answering this call in the series. You can't make the Magic any better. You can't make them a better test for you. So just keep playing hard, and I think this thing will take care of itself quickly, because that is not a five seed. That is not – like, you watch the West, and you watch a team like Phoenix, who's not perfect, but, like, you know, they're the six seed going up against – or, wait, what is Phoenix? They're the six going up against three. Like, Phoenix got dusted.
Phoenix,
if you put Phoenix as a five seed, this would be a real series with the Cavs. But fortunately, they're in the West. You jerk.
That's kind of sort of an inside joke.
Yeah, as it were.
Someone once called Phoenix a different name.
Yeah. I actually think she's doing her 2020s today.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know she knows.
Bus.
I don't even know. Well, no, I don't think she knows that that's a joke we make. Heath on Twitter saying that's the biggest thing the Cavs responded back to. Physicality last year against the Knicks, they didn't do that at all. I mean, I think what allowed you to is that the Magic were not physical, and then they weren't hitting their shots. I think the problem with the Cavs is last year with the Knicks, they would try and respond with the physicality, and then the Knicks would go on this run where Jalen Brunson would hit like two straight threes and you'd get another couple buckets.
He was so annoying in that series, because you're right. Every time the Cavs would get back in it or make a run, he would pretty much just put a stop to that.
Yeah, and so I think at the very least, I think this series gives you enough opportunity and margin for error. That's a big thing in the NBA playoffs, where the Magic don't have a lot of counters here. So I almost see this as this could be a confidence-building thing. You still have matchup problems later on in the playoffs. Who cares about that?
Mm-hmm.
Build the confidence. Build the camaraderie. See if you can get Darius healthy games, and just keep doing what you're doing, and don't let your foot off the – if you can learn that, just keep your foot on the pedal. That, dude, I think is 90% of the problem with this team in the second half of the season. But between the health and just the what energy, what was that?
So I was taking a drink out of my cup here, and it rubbed against the microphone.
Good Lord.
And it sounded like an Orlovsky moment.
You gotta pay.
Or what's his face? The Jaguars.
Oh, Trent Baalke?
Trent Baalke.
We can't use that word on the radio. This is a family station. Radu on Twitter saying, just force Orlando to brick from three. They were willing to give it up to them, and we're brutal on the free throw line. That actually is the toughest thing. Like, the whole point of the Magic was, all right, you put three or four people in the paint or near, you know, within 10 to 12 feet of the basket, we're just going to run at you, and it was working. Then you just didn't hit your free throws. That might be the thing that Orlando could do different this time. I think if Orlando hit their free throws tonight, that could put a little bit more pressure on you. Outside of that, we're going to go to Anthony Black tonight. We're going to go to I'm trying to think of the other guys on their bench. The other guys are either super young or not. Oh, and by the way, minute here. George Niang. Quality damn playoff minutes from George Niang. The minivan was moving this weekend. To get you back on, get you on board a little bit with the minivan?
I'm a fan of him as a player.
I don't think that's what you said here several times.
I got no problem with George Niang.
I felt like you've had a problem.
I got no problem with him.
I felt that you've had quarrel. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
I mean, I think he's a little bit of an inconsistent outside shooter.
That's fair. We did see that this weekend.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.